All right, we thank you for that. And now let me draw us together around the reading of God's Word. And today it is in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. The Gospel of John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Jesus talking to his disciples, saying, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. It was God's desire that his people Israel be the vine in the Old Testament. What that meant was is that God was going to use his people to deliver to the world the goodness, the character, the reflection of the image of God. He was to work through Israel. They were to interact with the world and all who came into enter into contact with them to share that truth, to share that love. By their lifestyles, they were to preach the gospel as it existed at that time into the hearts and lives of all of the people in the area in which Israel was. But they failed at that. God says in Jeremiah 2:21 that, "Yet I planted you, Israel, a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine?" That was God's way of saying that their disobedience now has taken them away from the intention that God had for them, the plan, the purpose that God had for them of being his image on the world. We have now that type of desire and direction from God as the church of being his image, his reflection, his people, to take his characteristics to the world. And we do that as individuals. We do it corporately, as we call it, within a denomination or a church body, as this one is. But we do it individually, because individually we make up that church body. We are the church. We are seen as the church. But as we depart this assembled congregation, as we depart this assembled body, the church does not cease being the church. Wherever you go, you are the church, because you carry the living Christ within you in the form of his Spirit. That is that connection, if you will, that we'll talk about. That is that connection to the vine that we have. That implanted Spirit attaches us firmly to that vine, so that everything that we should be and can be and purposed to be is coming to us through that spiritual connection that we have in the power of the Spirit, in the form of the Spirit that is with us. And so the spiritual fruit that God's people bear reflect that character of God into the world. How we interact with the world reflects the character of God to the world. How Israel interacted with the world was to reflect the character of the God they served. And to the face of all the idolatry that was going on around them, and to the face of these neighboring countries who looked to Israel, who interacted with them, who traded with them, who saw how Israel worshiped, they were to speak God's truth into the hearts and minds of those folks. The same as we are to live in a way that the characteristics that we show to the world are the characteristics of God. And so we are His reflection, His image, if you will. And so we are to be fruit bearers and fruit makers. And so what is the fruit? Well, Galatians 5 has that listing, very famous passage there that probably all of you are familiar with. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In other words, who can speak against these kinds of things? They're good things to have. They are spiritual things. They are a reflection of God's character. And so if we live in this way, if we reflect these types of spiritual fruit, then there is no sin in that, he's saying. And so understand that the characteristics of our outward production of fruit, our outward growth, is a reflection of the inward transformation that is taking place through that implanted Spirit. But all of this, folks, is an act of faith. I don't know that we do a good job of explaining the importance of faith in the life of God's people to implement all of the positive things that God has in store for us. When He says, "I'm here to be your comfort," it comes through faith. That we believe that He is that comfort. That we believe that He is that influence in our lives. When He says that He is our source of strength, then we have to look to Him as that source of strength. Because there are many things in the world, sometimes things that we think of as being neutral or maybe even personally good things, that can so easily slip into the place of God within our lives. He works through His people, yes. But do we recognize, do we seek Him when life throws us a curveball, as we like to say? When life brings hard things to us, what is our response? Do we go to His Word? Do we try to find comfort in that Word, having faith that God will lead us to those places where His Word can speak His truth into our lives to give us that comfort? Or do we go to some book? Do we go to some folks? Do we go to some other means of trying to find comfort and trying to make sense of things that happen to us when we don't know what is going on or why these things have come into our lives? What do we turn to? Who do we turn to when we're trying to make sense of the world? Now again, as I said, within the church, that's why it's so important that this church body is together, that we live in that vine type of attitude where Jesus is that source and then we become the branches. And so as we are those branches, we are there for support. We are there for to glorify that vine, is how I put it, I think, one time. When that vine, if you were to take all the branches off the vine, now again, you know, you have to follow this illustration for all that it can give you, okay? Christ is Himself glorified. He doesn't need us to have glory. But if you're taking all of the branches off of the vine, it's just a vine. But when you put the branches on there and all that the branches are capable of producing because of the vine, then there's a glory that's brought to that vine. And our purpose then is to bring that glory to God, because that's the visible representation of God. Just as that vine puts out and the leaves come out and the fruit hangs from it, and it brings glory and honor to that vine, then you and I as the church, as that branch firmly attached to that vine, is to bring glory and honor to God by the things that we produce, the leaves, the fruit, all of those things that glorify that vine. But again, that's an outgrowth of an inward change that the Spirit brings to us. And now this type of transformation, we know, only comes when for those who abide in the vine. And that's what Jesus is talking to His disciples about here. That word abide is used 10 times in that passage that I just read you. Yes, I counted them. 10 times in that passage. So whenever a word is used over and over like that, it's a signal that we need to pay attention to what He's saying here. So abide here means to endure, to remain faithfully connected to that vine, to remain faithfully connected to that vine. And so that brings up your thought for today, which is Christ's Spirit flows into His people, producing the fruit of His image. Christ's Spirit flows into His people, producing the fruit of His image. It's common knowledge, all of us who've grown up around here, we know that a branch can't live apart from the vine. You take a branch off of a vine, it's going to wither and die. And so the more we stay connected to Christ, the more firmly connected we are to Christ, the more we are going to flourish, the more we are going to be able to be the reflection of God's grace, to be the reflection of God's character within the world in which He's placed us. And the world really needs the reflection of God's character right now. We can be that standard of truth within the little circles that all of us have within our lives. And some of us have larger circles than others, depending upon the sphere of influence that we have. But no matter how small you think your circle is, there is always someone who is either directly or indirectly inside that circle of influence that you have. In other words, they look to you. They respect you in a certain way. But that respect is earned. That respect is gathered because of how you have conducted your life, how you have been filled with the Spirit, how the energy of the vine flows into you and outward through you to produce the fruits that I read to you. The gentleness and love and faithfulness, all of those kinds of things that God wants us to show to the world. How we deal with the hard things of life is a witness to the world of the love of God, the grace of God, the strength of God. How we interact, and none of us can hear this enough, how we interact in our business. How do people see us talking on the street? How do people feel when those of you who are in business, when they've had a business transaction with you and they leave that transaction? Do they leave in a way thinking that he or she's only looking out for self, or that's an honorable person? How do they see you? Those kinds of things are opportunities for the people of God to speak His truth, to influence the culture in which we have been engaged at that particular moment of time. And so if you are in a business of procuring land, do you give a fair price? If you're in a business of selling or merchants, do you have good products at fair price? If you are working for a company, there's a phrase going on now that's called quiet quitting. And while I haven't completely wrapped my mind around all that is, it sounded to me when the explanation that I heard that there are a lot of people now who don't like their job, but they go to it and they get a paycheck, but they don't put the time and energy into it that they need in order to flourish in that job. They've decided this is not for me, but I don't know where I want to go. I don't even know if I want to go anywhere else. Maybe I'll just join that rank and file that we just quit and do whatever we want to do. When we are hired as a people of God, and Paul talks about this in some ways, when you go into some of Paul's writings and he talks about slaves and masters, don't let that terminology turn you off. Don't let it, the concept that we have of slave and masters, he's there. We take that in today and time about if you are employed, if you work for someone, how are you to engage that time that you work for that individual? Are you to give your all? Are you to be a productive employee? Are you to be an employee that even though it may not be may not be the winner of the job that you want it to be. And that's, I think that's what the quiet quitting is about. It may not be all that you imagined yourself being. You've pledged yourself, in a sense, to this company, this business, whatever it is. And they have hired you with the expectation that you're going to come and work hard and be compensated for that. Now, a lot of people go into those kind, and I'm going a little rabbit trail, but this is where we live, okay? And a lot of people go into that kind of arrangement and they think, well, they're not paying me enough money. Well, a lot of people have that attitude. But a lot of people fail to realize we agree to that. And so we come to work saying that I agree to work for you for this amount of money. And so then people begin to use the excuse when they don't think they're being fairly compensated. Well, I do too much for what they're paying me, so I'm not going to do everything that I need to do. Part of quiet quitting. That's not glorifying God. When we work for an individual, we make a promise to that individual, in a sense. But more importantly, we're there to, as Scripture says, in whatever you do, you glorify God. It could be the most menial task. If it's sweeping a floor, then we put in an effort to be sure that floor is clean. If it's washing dishes, then we wash dishes to the glory of God. If it's handling multi-million-dollar contracts, then we handle multi-million-dollar contracts to the glory of God. That is the church's, those kinds of things are the influence of the branch on the world. And having that kind of attitude among us is also going into producing the fruit that is there in that kingdom, the kingdom type fruit. So that people can see us and they can, and God can be glorified by how we live our lives. Because people see us as honorable, respectable. People see us as those who are fair and honest. All of those traits that God wants us to exhibit to the world. And we get those by being attached to the vine. Because human nature wants to take over in all of us. Now, folks, I know that all of us have a bad day from time to time. Okay, I'm not talking about that. How is your overall attitude to who you work for? How is your overall attitude to who you do business with? All of those kinds of things come into effect and come into play into the footprint of God, into the reflection of God that we put out into our communities, out into the world. And those are ways that people begin to see who God is, how God is. Because we are an outpouring of the vine. The branch is an outpouring of the vine. The vine puts in energy, the branch grows, the branch leaves out. The branch glorifies the vine by how we produce, how we live, how we love, the kind of attitude that we have with folks. And so we can only do that by abiding, not being cut off, but by abiding. Now Jesus makes a concerning statement here. He says, those branches of mine, how he puts it, every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now what exactly does he mean there? If we look to Judas, by the time these words, according to the Gospel of John, were being spoken, Judas had already departed. Remember there in the Last Supper? And Jesus made this statement, you know, what you do, do quickly. And Judas departed, and the disciples really didn't know why he went out. They think to buy more food, to do other things for the group. They didn't know what was going on, but Jesus did. And so that one there, Jesus even mentions it in the high priestly prayer in John 17 when he says, while I was with them, talking about his disciples, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, who, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He's talking about Judas there. So there's an example of a branch that was not firmly connected to the vine, but yet, in a sense, he was connected to Jesus. There are folks within our churches, and folks, I hope there's none in here that's like that, but there are folks in our churches in general who are the tares among the wheat. They are not connected to the vine, but yet they are part, if you will, of the vine. They do not get their source of spiritual energy in order to produce fruit from the vine, but they are connected to the vine, they feel good about it, and they get some advantage in some certain way, whatever that is. But they're not going to produce the spiritual fruit that Jesus is looking for his people to produce. Fruit very similar to what I just read to you. Joy, peace, love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so what does he say here? He says these branches like Judas are going to get pruned away. Why does he do that? Because Jesus seeks the purity of his church. He seeks the purity of his church. It's touched on in Ephesians 5 where it talks about husbands and wives. And it talks about how Jesus wants to present his church to his Father, a holy church. How can he present the church to his Father in holiness unless he prunes away that which is not holy? How does he prune away? By the preaching, the teaching, the reading, the disbursement, if you will, of the Word of God within the body, within the community of the vine, if you want to call it that. And so that Word begins to prune by either softening the hearts of those who hear and receive, and they become more firmly attached to the vine, or that Word hardens hearts. The more that it is heard, the more that it is rejected. And that vine begins to be turned away, that branch begins to be turned away more and more from the vine. And so the pruning that takes place here is God's Word that goes out into the hearts of the people. And so that pruning is to make us more productive as God's people, as that vine. All of us who have had any kind of experience with grapes or other types of agricultural products know that pruning is necessary in some circumstances to increase production, to make the vine bear more fruit. The hard stuff of life that happens to us is part of that pruning process. We can say that because it makes us aware of who we are as individuals. When tough things happen to you folks, it lets us know our weaknesses, our needs, but also our strengths. It lets us know that we are not perhaps as strong as we thought we were. Or maybe it lets us know that through Christ we can be strong. We can endure. We can stand in uncertainty. We can stand in darkness and in the unknown. We can stand when we feel like we are just incapable of meeting whatever this challenge is. Whenever life stands in front of us, as I said, like that big sequoia, and all we can do is look up at it and like, how in the world am I ever going to get around this thing? And because that's all that we see, because it grabs our attention, it's the wow thing in our life, we fail to see Jesus circling his wagons around us. His name just escaped me. I don't want to lead you astray, but when the prophet talked to his assistant and they were being surrounded by the enemy, the assistant was not able to see what the prophet was seeing, and the prophet saw all the forces of God there getting ready to do battle for him. And because we're so close to that giant sequoia and we can't see anything for the shade of its branches and the immensity of its trunk, and because we're just overwhelmed standing in our little meager self so close to something so big that we can't do anything about, then we don't see the forces in heaven ready to be given to us through faith and prayer to help us to meet this challenge, whatever it is. And so the trials of life are used to prune. They expose our hearts. They challenge our faith. They identify our weaknesses. They identify our need to be more firmly attached to the vine and know the life-giving force that is in the vine called Christ that helps us to walk in these types of times in our lives. And so that's what this is all about, is Jesus letting his people know, especially those disciples, that folks, in a little bit, I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here for you to come to me at night and me to comfort you and tell you about the kingdom of God and to do miracles and provide for you as I have been. I'm going to be gone. Now it's going to be you. I'm going to send my comforter. I'm going to send my spirit. I'm going to send my connection to that vine. But you have to be that branch that wants to latch on to that. You have to be secure to it. Because there's going to be so many things in this world that wants to tear you away from me. Just like a windstorm that comes and they want to separate the vine or separate the limbs from the trunk. They separate and tear off and tear away to destroy and kill. That's all that Satan is after. That's all that the storms of life want to do. And if we're going to flourish, if we're going to continue to bear fruit, if we're going to continue to be the reflection of God in the community where he's placed us, then we have to be firmly attached to that vine so that the storms of life, the stuff of life, won't tear us away. So that we can receive those life-giving nutrients that only the vine, Christ, can supply. So that we can then flourish and bear fruit and bring glory and honor to that vine. So that we can be the footprint of God wherever he has planted us. Whether it's in your family, your workplace, or maybe God's got something larger in mind for you. But wherever it is, if you're firmly attached to that vine, then you can be God's footprint, God's influence, God's image, by receiving all of that spiritual goodness that the vine Christ has to supply. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you this day as your people, thanking you for your grace, thanking you for the life-giving vine that is ours in Christ. May we want all that it offers to us, and may our lives be firmly attached to that vine we call Christ. And this is our prayer in his name. Amen.